with Jeff Sessions is pull out supporting a case out of North Carolina that the Supreme Court unanimously said was surgical racism. Now, think about that. The first thing his AG appointee does is say, I'm no longer going to protect voting rights. So he's turned the attorney general's office away from protecting voting rights. Then we have this fraudulent.
We have 60 seconds.
Okay, we have this fraudulent committee, and they now shut it down. But it's done its job. They're playing to a certain bait. They have sown the theory of voter fraud. And that is saying they couldn't prove it because the lawsuits blocked them. It's all a game, and we have to unpack it, and we need a movement to do that.
And so how are you moving that movement forward, Minister Harker?
I think what's really important with this Poor People's Campaign is that it's local groups all over the country who are coming together, people who are impacted by these issues, realizing that the folks in Washington are not serving them. And so what we can learn from Dr. King and from that whole movement 50 years ago is that a diverse fusion coalition of people coming together and insisting on changing the priorities is what changes the country. We can't look for moral leadership from Washington. We got to get it from the ground.
And the first action, 10 seconds.
First action will be on the Monday after Mother's Day. We're going after 25,000 people engaging in civil disobedience over 6 weeks to launch a movement. I want to say that, to launch the movement, not end the movement. We'll come back and talk more about in days to come.
Reverend Dr. William Barber of Repairers of the Breach and Evangelical Minister Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove, School for Conversion, North Carolina, organizing a new Poor People's Campaign. And that does it for our show. Democracy Now! Welcomes back Mike Burke from paternity leave. Thank you so much to Renee Feltz, who filled in so well. Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gattasino. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report, as we continue with part two of our interview with the Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter James Risen, who left the New York Times in August to join The Intercept as senior national security correspondent, and this week published a 15,000-word story headlined The Biggest Secret, My Life as a New York Times Reporter in the Shadow of the War on Terror. In the story, Jim Risen gives a personal account of his struggles to publish significant stories involving national security in the post-9/11 period, and how both the government and the top Times editors suppressed his reporting on stories including the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping program, for which he ultimately would win the New York Times a Pulitzer Prize in 2006. He describes how a story would have come out right before the 2004 presidential election of President Bush over John Kerry, potentially changing the outcome of that election. But under
Hey, it's Emmanuel.
And Kyle.
Stay tuned for Off the Wall from Romania.
Every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
The come down from ecstasy is a fall. It's brutal. People trust it because it's a little pill. That shape compared to a line or a needle gives a completely different mindset. Once I hit my absolute bottom, I just wanted to die. But the mythology of it is that people that died from one pill got something that was cut, or they didn't drink enough water. There's so many myths that people believe. And when you're hearing the only knowledge you get from your friends, it makes it a very dangerous game.
A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free New York and America.
Just
it's Emmanuel.
And Kyle.
Stay tuned for Off the Wall from Romania. Piece of bullshit wad off. God damn it.
Oh, you're thinking about the good time we had.
It wasn't supposed to happen that way, Kyle. It wasn't supposed to happen. You told me for sure. Whenever I worry, Kyle, whenever I worry, it's for a reason. I'm always right. I always know it's the worst. The worst is what's going to happen. And that's what happened to us, the worst.
You can't prove it. I had nothing to do with it. Leave me out of this.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. But God damn it all. I knew that woman wasn't understanding me. I knew that somehow she was getting it wrong. And we wound up not getting what we wanted on that train from Budapest to Bucharest. So I asked three times. We have a sleeping room, two people, just two people. Two people, not three people, not one person. Not eight people, not negative three people. Two people, only two people. Two people in the room. Two what? People, one, two. Two people, bed, train.
What about six shopping bags? Did you order that?
We got to the train plenty early. We had lots of time to mosey around the station. We discovered the hidden tracks. We had a great time. And there's our train, and we got on the right car, and we went to the right compartment, and there it was, and there was two beds up on top, and there were seats below the two beds, and we sat in the seats, and we looked at the station, and we waited. Well, we knew the train was leaving in about a half hour, and we waited, and the time was ticking, and 20 minutes was there, and then all of a sudden, these people opened up the door to our compartment without speaking any of our language and us not speaking any of their language. They made it clear that they were there to stay. And all of a sudden, we were hunkering down with a middle-aged couple that we knew nothing about. And that was the end of our plan to have a nice 18-hour trip, 16-hour trip from Hungary to Romania, where we could just kind of watch TV on our computers and
stretch out in our berth, have it all to ourselves.
Have debates, political debates, sports debates, you name it. Read. We had a bottle of champagne. We had all kinds of things planned. But then it all got shot to hell.
Our initial reaction, of course, was not to be having conversations. In fact, we didn't say anything. Because, you know, we have no idea who we're sitting with. I was really surprised, actually, because I thought we had it sorted. I thought you had been clear. I thought the ticket was what it was. We were in the right place.
Like I said, two people. Sleeping car, two people, train, Budapest to Bucharest. No more. And
private.
We did not get that. In fact, it got even worse. Two more people joined us. We had six people in the damn berth or whatever it's called. In the compartment. Six people. Can you imagine that? No, people, listen. You're on a train. You're in a room. And all of a sudden, you got to sleep with four other people who you don't know. It's not what we wanted. It's specifically what we didn't ask for. But apparently, that's called a couchette? How do you pronounce it?
A couchette.
Whatever that word is. And that's the wrong word. But, it didn't say that anywhere on the ticket. There's no way to know. It just printed two numbers of our berths in that room. But there are better rooms in the car up in front. That's what we wanted. That's what we tried to ask for, and we didn't get it. So I'm going to be a real pain in the ass the next time we book a train ticket. You better believe I'm going to be asking for diagrams. I might even say, let's take a trip to the train right now and look at it and show me where our beds are so that we don't have to go through this crap again. That said, they were nice people. I'm not begrudging them for who they are, because I was really upset. Here I am sitting in this room that I thought we were just going to have to do our own thing, and instead I just have to kind of try and sleep for 10 hours so that I can make the night go.
I was saying this earlier, parity with Amtrak, but I'd say maybe Amtrak has a little bit of a leg on CFR, the Romanian railway?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I was so perturbed I didn't even look at that. But I'd say Amtrak has more of a left-to-right motion. And what we had here, well, I'm not sure if this is Hungarian rail or Romanian rail. You ever hang out in a bouncy house?
Not recently. I can imagine, though.
I've never have either, but I can imagine, too. It bounces up and down, and that's kind of what they were doing in this train. I'd wake up, and I was bouncing up and down. Really weird. But we made it, and I guess it was a pretty fast journey. We were pretty much on time.
I just kept wondering, what are the chances that when we do derail from bouncing off the tracks that we're over a, say, small ravine? Or would it be a very large ravine? It could be 100 meters high. Who knows how high we would be in the middle of the night when you're trying to sleep, when you bounce off the rails to know certain death?
Well, I wouldn't know for sure because they had us up on the very top. And when you're up on the very top, you don't even see the window. You're just kind of like mashed up against the top of the car. And that's the other thing. That top berth is not meant for full-sized adults. I had my head pressing on one side and my feet pressing on the other side, and that's how it was the whole time. For God's sake, the woman who gave us the ticket must have known that, and she booked us in this compartment that we didn't even fit in, let alone had four strangers in it. And it got even better. I finally fell asleep, despite all the stress. I finally get to sleep. And as soon as I get to sleep, somebody wakes me up. It's like, they want to see my passport.
They turn on the brightest light.
The brightest light. It's like, passport. What the hell, passport? I'm in Europe. I'm going from one European country to another European country, and you want to see my goddamn passport? For God's sake. So I had to dig out my passport. Everybody's getting checked out for God knows what, because we're going from Hungary to Romania. Yeah, two countries that have long been at odds. And, okay, finally I got through that. And, And then I fall asleep again. The exact same thing happens a second time because apparently you show it to the Hungarian people leaving, and that takes a good 45 minutes. And then they get into Romania, and guess what? They want to see it all over again. And I don't know if they compare notes or what, but it was really kind of stressful that here I am finally falling asleep twice, getting woken up both times to show the same stupid piece of paper. And the train conductor took our tickets, and we didn't have any proof that we were supposed to be on the train in the first place. So, we tried to wander around today after we woke up, and there was no place to go. We thought, hey, we can't even sit up in this place. There's four other people sleeping in this car. We can't look out the window. I'd like to do something. I'd like to work on my laptop or read a book or even go to the bathroom. They're all challenges. And so finally, I make my way down the ladder to the floor, and you and I start exploring the train. But the whole place is packed like sardines. There's no place to sit. There's the first class cars ahead of us, which is kind of what we wanted to be in the first place, although you don't really have to be first class. Second class can get you a private room. But, you know, they wouldn't let us up there because we didn't have that kind of a ticket. Not that we had any kind of ticket at that point because they took it from us. And we went to the back where just people sitting in seats. And we actually did find a seat. There was like one free seat with a table. And we hung out there because we had to charge our phones. Our phones were like at 10%. And we sat there. It was kind of nice. We were able to look at the scenery, which is what you're supposed to be able to do in a train. And all of a sudden, this massive bag falls right down on the seat next to us. Some idiot had put a bag in a bad place. It was like one of these huge knapsacks.
With an ice axe.
Was that really an ice axe? That's what
yes,
it looked like.
It was an ice axe.
I thought you were kidding when you said that, because it looked like an ice axe. And the ice axe came smashing right down onto the seat. If you had been sitting there, you would have gotten an ice axe, whatever it was, right to the head. That's what happened. Now, figure, on the entire train, there's only one vacant seat. We sit in that one vacant seat, and that's the one place where an ice axe falls from the heavens.
In a precariously stowed 80-kilogram massive mega hiking pack.
Tell me there's not something at play here. Tell me there's not fate coming after us for something we did. Well, you missed. You missed.
One thing you mentioned that is interesting, I mean, yeah, you might say, oh, you don't have your ticket, boo-hoo, you know, they're taking care of you on this plush journey. Well, keep in mind, we didn't speak the language. We don't, you know, necessarily know every word of, you know, we know, you know, gestures and we know how to get by. But how do you explain to officials and so on when you don't have a ticket to your seat? You can't even explain what car it is. You can't even explain your frustration with the fact that it's not really what you had in mind anyway. So it's not even going to be a complaint on the train.
I explain with a glare. I just look at them and say, you really want to challenge me? I'm going through there. That's my car. That's where I have to spend the damn night. And you're going to tell me I can't even go there? I don't think so.
Yeah, we sort of flipped. We went into righteous indignation very quickly. Because you get pushed. You get to a certain
righteous. It can be, you know, unrighteous indignation. It's indignation all the same.
Deserved indignation.
Yes.
Whatever that may be. The other thing I noted was both border guards had computerized passport readers.
I didn't even see them. I basically just held my passport out with my arm and covered my eyes with my other hand because the light was so damn bright and it was like 3 inches from my face.
Well, it woke me up and I was up, so I was starting to notice what the heck was going on. They had some difficulty with my passport where they like scanned it and then he wrote something down. Oh, I know, because I'm an American and they have to stamp it. When you're not an American, when you're in the EU, they don't stamp it. They just look at it.
Yeah, I've got a European passport, so I was just basically... I might have even said some sarcastic things to them because I was really pissed off at that point. I'd just been woken up. I'm not in a situation I want to be in. And people are asking for a passport when... You know, I don't know why they're asking for a passport when I'm going from one European country to another. I know it's probably not the Schengen zone or something, but whatever. I just didn't expect that to happen. And if that was the case, why did everybody make a big deal of going to sleep 10 minutes before that was going to happen, or however long it was? I had just fallen asleep. But anyway, not to complain.
It was way past the time for social niceties, and I think what happened was our compatriots in this birth were concerned maybe that we needed a little nappy time.
I think they were afraid of us because we just seemed so upset. Well, I didn't say anything. I just was like, you know, you could see it in my face. But, you know, I don't want to, I was going to yell at the conductor, but I realized he didn't do this. It wasn't his fault. You know, but I really should not have had that kind of ticket. I shouldn't have had that when I specifically asked for that. And I think I paid for it, too, because, you know, I look at all the websites that say how cheap it is to go from Budapest to Bucharest. It wasn't that cheap, you know. I think I was paying for something a lot more than what I got, and that really wasn't cool. I wrote a nasty letter to them, actually, in the middle of the night from my phone. I wrote a nasty letter saying that they had bad customer service. I haven't heard back. I'll let you know if I do. But, you know, I did fall asleep, had a good night's sleep, and we arrived in Bucharest around noon, and that's where we are right now. We're standing on a balcony, actually. Well, I'm standing on a balcony. You're standing inside, looking down at the street. Very nice place we found.
Yes, it's called self-preservation.
Not the place we found, but, yeah, it's what we do.
By not standing next to the balcony. You're welcome to, but I...
What's cool is, you know, we're at this place, and they gave us a wine tasting when we got here. It was so cool. You find amazing places like this. You basically get wine and cheese and just all kinds of, like, you know,
little perks,
yeah. And we're going to wander around the city. We have a day pass. First thing we always do when we get to a city is get a day pass. So that way we can just hop on whatever and go places. And we're going to look for coffee. And
I say, yeah, the coffee scene apparently in Bucharest is thriving. They're doing really, really cool stuff with coffee. We went to some of the same places and new places I mentioned already, I'm sure, in Hungary. But here, a new place for me, I'm really excited because what I've read is that there's a lot of new shops, new places cropping up. So we're eager to check that out. And all the other stuff, food and just culture, neighborhoods, transit, you name it. We're going to dive into it. It's these little challenges that, you know, basically give you the resilience to move on to the next bit of fun in that new city. And this city is it for us.
Yeah, it's a you know, unavoidable part of traveling. Things don't go the way you expect them to. And, okay, when it happens, you deal with it. You try to be as civilized as possible. But, I don't believe in bottling it up either. So, hey, look, a cat in the street down there. We've seen so many stray dogs here, but there's a cat.
Yeah, it's a mackerel tabby.
Wow, how about that? A lot of stray dogs in Romania for some reason. But so we're going to wander around a bit, and we'll come back from – don't do that. What's he going to do, climb up the building? We're four stories up.
He's ignoring me.
Okay. Well, so we're going to wander around, check this place out. It's a lot nicer than last time I was here. I'm not nearly as scared as I was. Last time I almost got mugged as soon as I got off the train. This time it didn't feel dangerous at all.
This time we're doing the mugging.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. So we have other places to go as well. We'll get into that as things progress here. But we're okay with just a little bit of a rough... This time it wasn't a rough landing. It was more of a rough getting to the landing. The landing was fine. It was the voyage that was rough.
Well, there's just that factor of, like, you are in an unfamiliar place, and as much research and as much advanced kind of info you try to set yourself up with, you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to understand everything. You're not going to be able to read everything. And you got to expect stuff like this is going to happen, but it wasn't the greatest night, I would say. I think we were remarking in the elevator on the way up that this is the first time we'd had a moment without a bazillion other people in like 24 hours, you know, several, maybe a day or two.
This kind of goes to the thing I was saying last show about how Europeans don't have the same sense of personal space.
Oh, no.
Now imagine being in the United States and having to, like, hunker down with, two other couples, a middle-aged couple and a couple of guys traveling from God knows where, not knowing anything about them, not even speaking the language, and you're all supposed to be in very close, confined quarters. It's just really uncomfortable. I mean, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I've done it before. But when you specifically say you don't want to do that and you wind up doing just that, that's when it gets really frustrating. But okay, it's history. We're past it. We're going to wander around now and do some fun things and bring you with us for other fun things.
That's right. We experienced it, so you don't have to.
No, but you should.
Minus 2 grade Celsius, nu la Pietroșani în Prahova, unde-i botezul cailor. Acolo am înțeles că este frumos și bine. Vreme deosebit de caldă, de bobotează și în capitală, cu soare, cer senin și o maximă de 13 grade Celsius. Știm deja, nu este cu ghinion, este foarte bine. Acum sunt însă doar 4 grade Celsius, mai este timp să urce mercurul în termometre până la 13 grade astăzi. La Cluj-Napoca, Miercurea, Ciuc, Sibiu și Vaslui se înregistrează 0 grade, la Alexandria, Brașov, Deva și Giurgiu sunt 2 grade, la Galați, Craiova și Slatina 4 grade, la Arad, Constanța și Tulcea sunt 6 grade, la Oradea 9 grade Celsius. Aveți grijă cum conduceți!
Acasă, la serviciu, în mașină. Ascultați Radio România Actualități.
Angelul fără teacă și cu pieptul dezvelit, Andri Popa cel vestit, Andri Popa cel vestit. 7 ani cu voinic cruce șapte, ce-au sub sângele cu lapte. Și nu-i pasă de nimic Andri Popa cel voinic, Andri Popa cel voinic. E haiduc și e vestit Andri Popa cel voinic. E haiduc și e vestit Andri Popa cel voinic.
Andri Popa Phoenix în varianta cu Mircea Baniciu. De fiecare dată când ascultăm această piesă, parcă ne vine să ne luăm flinta pe umăr și să, pe umăr și să plecăm în haiducie pe munte. O aventură la fel de frumoasă, dar mai puțin riscantă ar fi dacă mergem în cinematografe. Este ora 10:35, din nou pe covorul roșu al premierelor cinematografice din această săptămână cu Iana Ioniță.
Well, after spending 4 days in Bucharest, in Romania, and we try to figure out first of all how to get to where we're going, and the best way to do that is riding mass transit. Yeah, you could Uber, I suppose. You could get a taxi. Never really gone for that. I kind of want to know how the masses get around, and every city, well, most cities anyway, have mass transit systems, and increasingly these days they have things known as day passes. So if you can find a machine or a human that will sell you a day pass, you're set. You can hop on any bus, any tram, any metro, and get to where you're going or get near where you're going. And we were able to do that quite easily with Bucharest. And it's interesting because I've been here once before. Actually, I say here. We're not really here anymore. We've moved on to Moldova. But we're not going to talk about Moldova this time because that's the next show. This is all about Romania or Bucharest specifically. And I've been to Bucharest, I believe in 1992 or thereabouts in the early 90s, shortly after the revolution, about 3 years afterwards. It was a scary place. It was scary. The lights were dim because Nicolae Ceaușescu, the dictator who ruled the country for 25 years, kept the lights dim so that he could conserve money, or at least so that the people could spend less. And he built palatial estates and all kinds of wastes of the public's money. But we'll get into that. Point is, I was there once before, and it scared me. I almost got mugged as soon as I got off the train. The city was dim. It was kind of not a good mood, kind of a grim place, not a lot to do. People didn't seem to be having much fun. Totally different today. Totally different. Vibrant city, a lot going on. We went to a bunch of coffee shops and some really cool places.
Tons and tons of street art is, I think, something that anybody who goes to Bucharest would notice right away. Whether you're talking about subways, sort of in the vein of New York City in the 70s and 80s, to the walls of buildings and advertisements, just so much of the kinds of graffiti and street art that gets kind of cleansed and washed. So I don't have as much to reflect on by comparison, but there were these modern things like day pass and different options in that vein. Of course, none of this is without some sort of hiccups. You know, it's not to say that it isn't a little backwards in some ways. And one example that comes to mind, aside from the slow kiosks, was the very day passes that this kiosk would give you when it decided to actually process a transaction. Those day passes had an arrow on them. And when you would insert those into the machine, as I said, things are a little backwards. You actually don't put it in the direction of the arrow. It goes in the other way.
Yeah, the arrow has to be pointed towards you, not the machine.
So who knew? It took us about 10 minutes, you know, to get our tickets, to figure out what direction. Signage, not as verbose, not as clear. Sometimes.
Okay, so you're standing on the platform, and the staircase to the other platform is on your right-hand side, going over to your left-hand side, which is where the track is. So they put a sign there that differentiates the two tracks, and they make it seem like the one on the right is the one on the other side. In other words, where you would go for the staircase. That's how I interpreted it. That would be the track on the left because you have to go to the right to get there. But it was the exact opposite. Now, they could have alleviated all the confusion by simply not putting the sign there. They could have put it up a little further, and then it would have been clear, oh, you mean the left track is on the left side, not the right side, because you don't need to go to the right side to get to it. Well, you can see this is the kind of logic that you wind up getting stuck in Bucharest. It just it's ridiculously difficult sometimes to do the most simple things. But can I just say one thing about you? You mentioned graffiti. There's a particular example. If you're ever in Bucharest, it's worth seeking out. We only found this out on our last day. There are four metro lines. Right now, there are four metro lines. There are plans to build two more, M1, M2, M3, and M4, just like in Budapest, actually. We rode M1, M2, and M3. They all seem like modern metro cars. I think some are even made by Bombardier, whatever it's called. But we rode M4. And that was the crown jewel, because those are cars apparently from the Ceausescu era. They are just this old socialist-looking metro system with manually operated doors, but they are covered with graffiti on the outside, every single car. And it's really worth just standing in an M4 station and watching them come in.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Full layered pieces, incredible art. The only thing not painted was the windows, essentially. Those cars, very sparse, very, very minimal. You're holding on to what feels like a pipe, you know, as far as handles. There's no surveillance. There's no, these sort of modern LED readers inside. You might get an announcement. That kind of contrast, it's kind of, it's cool. It's cool in the same system to see that.
Yeah, we also ran into a fair amount of difficulty when we went out. We went to a mall. We had to try this. We went to a mall. It was a big, bustling mall, and we wound up seeing a movie, which is cool because they have subtitles. And while it was Romanian subtitles, it was an English language film. We saw Murder on the Orient Express, which, by the way, you know, it's about trains, but one of the stops that was listed on the Orient Express was Bucharest. And, you know, it's kind of a weird thing. You know, here we are in Bucharest seeing a movie at random, pretty much, and it happens to be a movie that mentions Bucharest. I applauded when I saw Bucharest. No one else did. The theater was filled with people, but they were all so reserved. Nobody did or said anything. Nobody laughed at the jokes. There was no applause or cheers or any of that. I'll say this. They kept quiet. There wasn't a lot of talking, but it was really kind of strange because usually in the States, I'm used to empty theaters and loud people. And in this case, it was a full theater and everyone was really, really quiet. They've said Bucharest, for God's sake. You're in Bucharest, your city, in a major film. I just expected something from that. But yeah, we saw this this film there. It was kind of cool to do that. We got popcorn. We didn't get any weird flavors on the popcorn, which is also good. And then we tried to get back. And it was it was around 11 o'clock or close to 11 o'clock. And we ran into something that we didn't know we were going to run into. And that was massive confusion. Well, we saw number one tram. We knew that was a good tram to get on. So we walked to a tram station where we had seen that number one tram go to. And then the next tram after that just had some writing on it without a number. The one after that was a different number. The one after that, another number still. Then another tram with more writing on it. So we eventually just got on one of the trams with writing on it. We knew we were at the right place. Even though the stop didn't say one, we saw a one stop there. So we knew we had to be in the right place. And we saw ones going in the opposite direction, too. So we got on one of the trams that just had writing on it and took it until the announcer or the driver stood up and made some kind of announcement in Romanian. And everybody got off. So we figured, hey, we're being kicked off for some reason. So we stood on the tram stop that they kicked us off at. And just kind of looked confused and started to realize that, you know what, these trams seem to be going to the shop. They're done for the night. That's probably what the writing said. And we started to walk because it seemed like the trams were shutting down for the night. We found a metro station, and we knew where we were at the metro station. We were only one stop away from our destination. But as soon as we went down to the turnstile, these people emerged from the booth and started saying something to us in Romanian, and we had to explain where we were going, and apparently that was good enough. They allowed us to get on the system. But what we learned from all that was that the system shut down at 11 o'clock at night, which, you know, I'm used to, obviously, 24-hour systems in New York, But when I'm traveling, I'm used to systems shutting down at midnight, maybe 1 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night in a bustling city like Bucharest, where things go what they call nonstop. That's what 24 hours means to them. All the shops say nonstop. We went to a 7-Eleven type of chain called Mega Image. Mega Image is a weird name, and they're nonstop. So those are some Bucharest phrases that I picked up. But yeah, that was our adventure with almost getting stranded late at night.
Yeah, and just as there are these chain places open all night, there's a lot of kiosks and stands, what we would call bodegas, but not even as big as a bodega. And it's like if a bodega is divided by, you know, into four pieces and spread out on a corner. There's a lot of kiosks, a lot of things being sold, particularly like soft drinks and maybe what we would say junk food. But it's that kind of cottage industry that crops up when certain main things close earlier. Well, you're going to have to seek that out at the local place that is open. So that stuff's, you know, always going. Religion seems to always go. What I'm speaking to in particular was the sign of the cross. We noticed that a lot of people would do this just as they got on a subway, as they got off, as they got on a bus, while they're on the bus, while they're walking down a street.
Well, I saw people doing this, especially like older people, and usually we'd be passing a church and they would do the sign of the cross. I've seen this in other countries as well, but I couldn't figure out people doing it on the subway underground. Why are they doing it on are they aware there's a church right above them? Do they really have GPS systems in their heads?
Yeah, really, it had us a bit perplexed, but it was interesting. It was part of the culture, absolutely. Something to respect and just understand that that's an important part of a society, especially different generations. You know, younger people perhaps not practicing as much or in the same way. But it struck us that, you know, this is definitely a society that's got a strong anchor in religion, in particular Christianity.
Absolutely. Stick with trains just for a second. We'll go back to trains for a second. We had a really epic adventure in the central train station where we were trying to get tickets to go to Moldova, the city called I keep forgetting the name of the city. Chisna
or Kizna?
Okay. Well, we went to the train station and I knew this was going to be a challenge. But we basically started walking around, seeing if we could figure out how or where to buy a ticket to that city in Moldova, the next country over, or even if there was a train that went there. Because my train book said there was a train once a day. We went to a little machine, and that machine listed all kinds of trains, but it stuck something else at the end of the city name. So I'm not even sure it was the same city. And it was really hard to get any clarity on that. And we also didn't want to make the same mistake or have them make the same mistake as the last time where we wound up, bunking with four other people. Didn't want that at all. So we basically started searching for a person that could help us. And we walked into this ticket hall. And I swear, this ticket hall must have had a dozen different windows, at least.
Maybe two dozen.
Two dozen. Half on one side, half on the other. There were no lines. It was a big, massive hall. There were all these people behind the glass at these windows. And they were having a good old time back there, just kind of like, you know, talking to each other. And occasionally, somebody would walk up to one of the windows. They'd be ignored for a while, and then they'd be dealt with. It was some kind of holdover from the socialist days where just there was too much of the wrong thing. And there were too many of these ticket agents and not enough customers. So anyway, we did. We walked to another set of windows. This one, I think, only about six. Or was it more?
Yeah, there was several halls. So we went from this larger one to another smaller one to try to get an idea of where then we could get someone who spoke English, but also to book this actual ticket. I think that that row of them then led us to the final row.
Yeah, well, there was also a row of information windows, which we didn't even go to. Maybe we should have. But I don't know what the second row of windows was for, but we did find somebody there who spoke no English but was able to understand what we wanted. She just said international and pointed outside. I don't know if she was telling us that's where international is outside. But no, outside. She also indicated window number one, I believe. And so we walked outside and down towards the other part of the station. And sure enough, window one was an international window that sold international tickets. The person there spoke great English. And we explained what we wanted to do and what we wanted to have, what we didn't want to have. And we certainly did not want to have what we had last time. And we explained that. And she got it. She said, private room, two people, train to Chisinau, Moldova on Saturday, and it was all perfect. And she got it right. We paid very minimal amount, as we did for almost everything in Romania, in Bucharest, and we were done just like that. And the train time coincided with the train time in my book, so we knew it was the right one. It just felt like we really conquered the system there.
Yeah, and fairly quickly. We knew what it was when we saw the bank of windows and people sort of trying to half ignore and half glare at us. So it you know, quickly we got our answers and moved on, then moved to the next, and then got the tickets and got actually back out to the track and found out where we would be actually getting onto the train. So that was really sort of the icing there for us to have a good sense of where then we'd be hauling our bags to.
See, unlike Penn Station, where it's a crapshoot as to where the train will show up each day, the same train, different track every day, there are signs on the walls of these stations that will tell you the train to Moldova will be on track 11 at 7:15 every day. And that is its track. So we knew that was a track we had to go to on that day at 7:15, track 11.
Yeah, and it worked out. Here we are. We did get that. But gosh, so many other memories in Bucharest. You know, once you're familiar, we had a really funny interaction with a unstaffed laundromat.
Oh my God, the laundromat. Well, you know, that's another thing we do whenever we go to these cities. We do laundry. And that's always an adventure. And you found a place that wasn't exactly what we expected.
No. Just quickly, it's a really small set. Actually, there were two of them, and they're really just near near Gare du Nord itself, but in an area off to the side that had what you might think of as like apartment blocks or just, you know, a bunch of housing. So an ideal place for a coin laundry like that. But in this case, it was automated, and first we couldn't get in the door.
There was a QR code on the door, so we had to basically read the QR code on one of our phones, and that took us to a URL, and that URL told us we had to download an app in order to open the damn door. And so I downloaded the app, but it took a long, long time to download the app. And you know what? While the app was downloading, somebody came out and let us in. So it was that simple. They just let us in. So, you know, a low tech solution, we were able to just bypass that whole system, but I was still downloading the app. I wanted to know how to do it. And it took another, 10 minutes to download the app.
Yeah, this was like a fall on effect of, the data being throttled a bit. And I couldn't really install the app. I don't have quite the same system, and it would have been cumbersome in and of itself. But that chance thing of us maybe trying the door and people having finished inside, it was really just six washing machines. So the chances of anybody being in there was really small.
Really small. And it would have taken us a long time. We never would have gotten in, because once I finally did download the app, install the app, and start the app, it said, to continue, we must have your Facebook account. And that's when I said, enough already. I just want to do my damn laundry. And here I'm being asked to download apps and read QR codes and now give access to Facebook. No, I'm not doing that. Fortunately, we were already in the place, but we couldn't leave because if we left, we wouldn't be able to get back into our clothes. So one of us had to stay. And also we had to get change too, because obviously we couldn't get change. So I walked down the block and was able to actually buy two beers for like a few cents and was able to get change for a larger bill.
Yeah, there was some other nuances there with selecting the machines once we loaded them. And I think a couple lei that I had put into the machine did get lost in the fray.
But, lei is the currency, by the way.
Yes, Romanian lei. But ultimately, the laundry was started and that was completed. And it did take quite a while, though. I mean,
it wasn't that simple because it took your money and didn't give you anything. And you had to actually call the people and have a nice chat with them on the phone. And that call probably cost more than the laundry because they had to explain how the system works. And there are signs that are saying, if you press the wrong button, you'll lose your money and all kinds of dire warnings like that. It was really not very user friendly.
But the detergent and softener was included, so I didn't have to buy that separately.
Well,
that makes
it all right. But yeah, we did our laundry. We got that done. It took quite a while. We had two beers. But that's part of the adventure of traveling. You never know what to expect, and all kinds of wacky things happen.
They're very, very nice Swiss washing machines. And it's a rare thing, apparently. There are not a lot of laundromats in Bucharest.
You know why it's a rare thing? It's a rare thing because people get violent when they have to download apps and read QR codes and give Facebook access. Anyway, we did our laundry. It's clean.
Yeah, yeah. That was a taste of everyday life. We had a bit of an adventure figuring out the bus system, trying to get back. And you thankfully found a table, and we had been standing around thinking, oh, well, we went one way, we'll just cross the street, and the bus will be around any minute. Wrong.
Nah.
Not how it works.
No, but it's weird because I was able to use my phone to find that particular bus route and a whole list of all the stops, and I saw that going the other direction, that stop didn't exist. It was a different stop. We didn't know where that was. But what that told us was we could get on and continue going at the stop we got off at, and in two stops we'd be able to simply cross the street and go the other direction. And I think it turns out we just got on a tram at that point because that was going to the train station.
Yeah, yeah. And it was getting late. We were probably due for a meal. We kind of lose track of meals. It's tough when you're out of sync. It's tough when you're catching up on sleep. We did have to do a bit of radio, and we were up late at one point, and then you're catching up with a train ride, and all those factors kind of mess things up. Maybe you can't find something, or maybe you don't have quite the meal you expected.
Yeah, this part of Europe is 7 hours ahead, not 6 hours. So for us to do our show in New York on Wednesdays, since it's at 8 o'clock Eastern time, instead of being 2 o'clock European time, it's 3 o'clock Eastern European time. So it's, yeah, we had to stay up really super late for that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think whatever pains, for whatever difficulties and discomfort that was, what was really exciting, I think also I'll just add, is the coffee culture and our ability to track down Club Mate.
Okay. Now let's talk about that for a second because, well, first of all, we found a really good, you wanted a sandwich, but apparently Romania isn't known for the sandwiches. But we went to a place that said they had sandwiches, but in fact, they turned out to be more of a pizza place. But it was a madhouse. There was a line going out the door, all these people going back and forth, and it just was the kind of mayhem that we love. And we were able to get a couple of slices of pizza, a couple of beers there for really, really cheap. And afterwards, we had a discussion about Club Mate. You had been looking for Club Mate. You had made phone calls. You had gone to websites.
I emailed the distributor.
All kinds of things and got nothing in response. And you had given up. And I was in the street with you there trying to convince you, don't give up, Kyle. There's Club Mate out there. We'll find it. It's our destiny.
Look, I don't know what was in the pizza that you had, but you all of a sudden, you walk out the door after one slice and you think you can just walk around the corner and find your dream soda or something. I'm like, you're out of your mind. This is Bucharest. Get back down to earth, bud.
So I looked on my phone, found a place that claimed to be nearby. It was one block away.
Yeah, we had we had a list, and I was just throwing out ones that I had not looked into, and you took the initiative, found that one of the addresses that we hadn't checked was really, really, really close, and we did. We went basically around a block, 1.5 blocks away, basically, and this was like a very small club, not unlike places that I would expect in Seattle and in Georgetown.
But this club, it was a bar, basically, had nobody in it. We weren't sure it was open. We walked in, there's just a guy behind the bar, and we asked, hey, do you have Club Mate? He said, yeah, and he spoke English. And we just happened to mention to him, and we didn't mention to anybody else, we happened to mention to him, yeah, you know, we're going to Moldova next. And he said, oh, I'm from Moldova. And in fact, there was some confusion there, too, because he said, I'm from the country Moldova, not the Romanian Moldova. And I was confused by that because I didn't know there was a Romanian Moldova. In fact, I still don't even know what that's all about. I said, no, we're going to the country. And he didn't believe me at first. I said, no, Chisnia, we're going there. And he's like, that's where I'm from. And so we had this nice long conversation about this city that we are now in, that our next show is going to be all about. Just the odds of us going one block away, finding Club Mate, finding a guy from the country that we're going to next, from the very city we're going to next, and having that conversation with him. That is the magic of travel.
And the magic of Mate. It was a good drink. It was we were really, really excited to get that. And that was not the only place. We ended up bumping into another place on our last day, which we were basically, right before we got on the train last night, walking around a neighborhood that we had been, like, we had one experience in a restaurant in that neighborhood. We figured maybe there'd be something else there. We walk into this place that's in a basement. I had seen Club Mate on the shelf when we walked by, and it turns out they serve sushi. So we had a bit of miso and drank yet another mate at that place. So it was really encouraging, but it eluded us the first couple days and took some doing. But by the last day, we were bumping into it. We couldn't turn around and not find a Club Mate, which was really encouraging. But that was a really an interesting day, an interesting final day there. We actually even got a tour of the very, very big Parliament building.
Yes, the People's House, the House of the People, gives tours. We're able to walk around this palatial building that Nicolae Ceaușescu had built in his final years, or never actually finished while he was alive. And I never thought I'd actually walk inside it, but we got a bit of a tour of a very tiny part of it.
3%.
Yeah, something like 3% of it.
But we used more of it. We got to use it more than he ever did.
Second biggest administrative building in the world next to the Pentagon. That's what we're told. And a lot of really, really expensive architecture, too, which basically bankrupted the country. But that's a discussion for another time. We're pretty much at the end of our discussion here about Romania. I have to say, though, in conclusion, it is so worth coming to. This place has really livened up and turned into a fun place to explore. Super cheap. My God, the things that we had to double check. Did we really just pay that little amount for all this? And yeah, you will. It's simply incredible.
Yeah, and looks can be deceiving. It's a very, very good example of, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. You might, you know, be unfamiliar. The language is obviously different. There's a lot of accents and stuff on the characters. And all of that aside, there are gems. There are really modern, amazing things going on there. A lot of technology. It's a great place to visit, and who knows what will come out of Bucharest next. There's really cool things going on, next generation of innovators and ideas, and I'm sure we're going to hear more about it. The coffee was a great indication of that alone. So
the other thing that's really cool about Romania is the Romanian language, which for some reason in Eastern Europe is a Romance language. So it sounds very similar to Spanish or Italian or even French. You'll hear that in our radio excerpts. Next time, we are moving on to the country of Moldova. Very mysterious place neither one of us has been to before. Place I dare say very few of our listeners, if any of our listeners, have ever been to before. In fact, I'll bet a lot of people have trouble even finding it on a map. But we'll have more on that next week. For now, here's some Romanian radio from Off the Wall. Have a good night.
Bye.
Ceva de spus? Vă așteptăm cu gânduri, păreri, impresii și recomandări la numerele de telefon 021 312 1054 sau 021 312 3558. Pe mobil ne puteți suna sau trimite mesaje la 0728 032 622. Simplu, nu? Fiți alături de noi! Psihologul muzical vă răspunde!
Man. Oh, my friends, this is Finn. This is Finn's Revolution. Until the 9 p.m. hour right here on WUSB Stony Brook. A little bit of a late start today because of Off the Wall getting a little bit of a late start, but it's a beautiful thing. It's all good. We're going to pay some tribute tonight to birthday boys Jimmy Page and David Johansen, plus a fond adieu to Miss France Gall right here.